Luke chapter 6. Got about 6-7 verses for you. Going to start reading at verse 17 and read through verses 23. Top of my, this little section in my Bible says, blessings and woes. And we're not talking about horses today. So we're going to read this from the Gospel of Luke. Bible says, he talking about who? Talking about Jesus. Jesus went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples, he's talking about going with them. He's talking about the 12 disciples. He had just selected them. So he goes down with those 12 and meets a large crowd of disciples and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. That's north and south, all over the Holy Land, are coming and flocking and walking a ways, maybe a week, to get to where Jesus was preaching so that they could experience that power. It says, from Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, blessed are you who are poor. Anybody find that to be good news today? Yeah, I've got a couple people, and I got a whole lot of money in the bank. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when you hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you. It's kind of a steep hill that we're going up here, amen? When they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man, rejoice in that day and leap for joy because great is your reward in heaven. Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, we want to keep our eyes on something bigger than right now. We want to keep our eyes on something bigger than our struggles and our strains, Lord. And you give us, Lord, by hanging on the cross, something to shoot after, Lord. You give us a target, Lord. Lord, that there is a heavenly reward that is coming, Lord. There is going to be a day where there will be no more poverty. There will be no more weeping. And there will be no more hunger, Lord. And Lord, we wait in eager expectation, Lord, for the reward to come flowing down to us, Lord. And Lord, we put our eyes and our focus on that reward. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen, amen. Anybody ever have one of these? That's a piggy bank. Amen? I mean, literally a piggy bank. It is a piggy bank. Now, not all piggy banks are, in fact, pigs. This is, I guess you'd call it a watermelon bank. And it's kind of a nice one, but what really is most important about these piggy banks? What's inside, amen? So you can have a pretty one that's nice and special, or you just have a plain one. Right? And you set the value of what is going on with what is in these things. And how do these things get filled up? When you put money in there. Ka-ching, right? And what you do is you are saving up that money for later. Amen? And some, you know, there are, my mom is a saver. And so, because she was a saver, we all became savers because saving was important. Got to have a little something put away. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some people don't. Some people are thinking, why in the world would I put my money away if I can't spend it? What good is it for me? You know anybody like that? You know, I got, Joe says, that's like me. Joe is actually learning how to amass debt. Yes, he is taking advances on future income. Now, what good is money if you can't spend it? I got need right now, right? Now, so which are you? Joe says, I'm a spender. Are you a saver or are you a spender? Well, how much money you got? Because if you're a saver, you're going to have a little something. No matter how little. Because you're a saver and you put a great premium on having a little something put away. Amen? Even if you got nothing, man, you are thinking about it and you only feel good when you got something that is put away. That's what Jesus is talking about today. Putting a little something away for heaven. Planning for the future. You planning for the future or are you living for today? The title of today is Planning for the Future, and we are in a series about discovering Jesus. And if we are going to discover who Jesus is, we are going to have to pay attention to his message. Amen? And his message is a message about the kingdom of God. And we read about some rather challenging aspects of the message of that kingdom today. Amen? Talking about hunger, poverty, rejection, hate, all that kind of stuff. And you are not going to hear that message realistically anywhere else. We've got a big event that is happening a week from Tuesday. Anybody know what? 4 weeks from Tuesday. Anybody know what that is? That is the election. And we're going to have a choice to make. And I'll tell you what. Neither one of those men. Barack Obama has a message. Mitt Romney has a message. And neither one of them is very close to the message of Jesus. Amen? I mean, it is difficult. I mean, Mitt Romney gets up there, blessed are you who are poor. Say, what? Blessed are you who are hungry. I ain't not voting for this guy. This guy has not. See, the message of the cross, the message of heaven is not the message that was popular back in the day. And it's not a message that is popular even today. There's people around who think they got to dress it up. That Jesus needs a little bit of help to make him be a little bit more modern. Amen? We got to help Jesus out here. We ain't going to talk about blood and pain and suffering and all that kind of stuff. Not relevant. Not going to meet people where they are at. But back in the day, people were walking a week to hear the message of Jesus. Why? Because there was power coming out, power to heal. I tell you, I was telling Roki, I came in, I go, did you talk to the guy? He said, I didn't have to, and he was smiling. I said, ooh, this is going to be good. He said, he came and found me and said, I'm being extended. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I've been praying for Roki. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, our Father in heaven, He is watching us. He is listening to us. And sometimes we're asking for stuff we don't need. James says you don't have because you don't ask. And when you ask, you're just trying to get it that you can spend it on what you want. Planning for the future. Now, he says that he's going to have this thing called the Sermon on the Plain. Because he goes to a flat place. Matthew has Sermon on the Mount. Got Jesus be preaching, and he'd be preaching in different settings and talking about the kingdom of God. And he said he went down with his disciples and he met a great big crowd of disciples and a bunch of people who wanted to get healed. Amen? Now, you can take that group of people who wanted to get healed, and we can split that in two. In that group of people who wanted to get healed, there was going to be some people who were going to become disciples. Amen? All right, so you got the disciples, and you got the people who are going to become disciples, and you got the people that were just there for what they could get. And Jesus got a message for each one of them. My question for you, see, there's always people who are just in it for what they can get. Amen? You're going to be a disciple is different from just getting what you're going to get. My question is which one are you today? See, there was all three that came to listen to Jesus. And there's all three here today. So which one are you? We're going to take a look at the kingdom today. Are we good?
Amen.
Are we good?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, praise the Lord. I would say, I'm going to give away all this money. But then my wife would be mad at me. She goes, what are you doing with all my quarters up there? All right. Looking at his disciples, he said, blessed are you who are... I'm really not going to give the money away. I just want anybody confused there. You don't think he's giving the money away? No. Coming back. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man, because of me. Rejoice in that day. Leap for joy in that day, because great is your reward in heaven. Because that's how their fathers treated the prophets. Jesus would have us be savers. Save up for a reward that comes later. Save up for a reward that is in heaven. Some of you thinking, not all that attractive. Blessed, he gives us a list of the blessed. Poor, hungry, the weepers, the hated, the excluded, the insulted, and the rejected. That is not generally a list. I mean, if we had a clipboard and it had on one of them, poor, hungry, weepers, hated, excluded, insulted, and rejected, there's not a lot of people that want to sign up to be on that list. Right. Amen? It is a message that is contrary to the values that we have in our culture. Blessed. Not the list you want to sign up for. And he says, when you get on this list, you need to rejoice. You need to celebrate. Really? Kingdom values are different. They've always been different. He says, this is how they treated the prophets. And the prophets of God were always excluded from the culture. What is a prophet? A prophet is one who speaks forth the message of God. Moses was a prophet. Jesus was a prophet. In fact, Old Testament says that one is going to come, one who is like Moses. Bible is filled with prophets, many of them killed, excluded, hated, rejected. Because of what? Because of the message that they carried. Because the message was so contradictory to the values of the culture of the day. Men today, women today, who bring forth a message from the Word of God, do that prophetical utterance. You have that word in your workplace, in your home. You are carrying forth the Word of God. You function in that role of a prophet. Bring forth the Word of God and expect to get on the list. Because our culture does not reward that. If you'll stay true, you have to remember what happened to Jesus. They put him on a cross and they killed him. Jesus says, rejoice because you're storing up a reward in heaven. Now, if you're a saver, if you're a saver, man, you pull out this money, you count it. Whoa, look what I got saved up. Jesus says what? Jesus says, store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. He says, your reward in heaven is going to be secure. And as you store it up, as you are putting that money in the bank, you're just going, oh my, hallelujah, this is good stuff. God is good. Going to get a reward in heaven. Some people don't think it has any value. Woe to you who are rich. You say, what? I'm going to go to college. I want to be rich. What's that car you want to get, Joe? Noble M600. How much does it cost? Just like $300,000. Remember when you were young, when you had a $300,000 car? Yeah. Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Can I get a witness? Hey, no, I don't know if I'm going to give a witness on that. Woe to you who are well fed. We got barbecue after church. I'm confused. For you will grow hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. And there are many who are just living for today. Saving for the future. Ha! Spend it now. Jesus gives us a list. Money, food, happiness, and reputation. Man, you got a clipboard. Poor, hungry, weeping, rejected, hated. Money, food, love, respected. Which one are you going to sign up for? I'll tell you what. You put that list out there on the street, you're going to find nobody on the poor list. Everybody on the money list. And Jesus says, that's the problem. Nobody gets the message of the kingdom. Jesus would have us shift our priorities and our focus. And you know what? He says, woe to you. There were some people, he was talking to somebody. Amen? He didn't say, woe to them. Oh, we're all good here. No, he said, woe to you. To you. He was making contact with some people. There were some folks in there that were living for the day way back then. And you know what? You can not have a lot of money and still be living for the day. Amen? Right? And you can have a bunch of money and you can have your heart in the right. You'd be saying, you know, I got money. God will trust you with money if you can handle it. That I am storing up wealth in heaven. Glory. But whoa. Got to have my money today. What good is it? Can't get to this stuff. I need some cash. I don't want to wait. I need my money today. I need my 360 Noble, man. Don't be making me wait. Wow. You see? Now, that's what I'm talking about. I got my money right here. And what do you got? Ain't got no more bank left. Right? But I got all I need for right now. And I don't got to worry about saving no more. People living for today. He says, woe to you. Woe is not a word we use a lot. We use it with horses. Whoa! That's not what we're talking about. Woe is an exclamation of grief. Grief to you. You have made such an incredibly poor choice. You have exchanged your present situation for your future. Prophets are mouthpiece for God. He talks about you're just like the false prophets. And the false prophets were the mouthpieces of the devil. The false prophets were getting paid. You want a prophecy? Pay up. I'll tell you whatever you want to hear. We got those people around here today. Amen. We got people that will tell you, some people got crosses on the outside of their building. And they're just telling people, Bible talks about people who surround them with prophets and teachers that their itching ears want to hear. Tell me that good stuff. Oh, I'll pay you. It's all about money. And Jesus is not about money. He's got a whole different focus. Amen? Amen. Woe to you. You've made an incredibly poor choice. All right. Kingdom values are different. Kingdom choices are different. I tell you who hear me. We're going to come back to that. Love your enemies. Now, I'll tell you what. I haven't heard Mitt Romney or Barack Obama say that. I have not heard either one of them say, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on, this is tough in the hood, folks. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. That's some tough sledding. Can I get a witness on that? See, Jesus has a whole new set of rules. And it ain't easy. It's one of the most challenging sets of commands in all of Scripture. Someone hits you, don't resist. Someone steals from you, don't resist. This is a massive challenge. And God says from heaven. But he told Roki. Roki was tripping for 2 weeks. Let me handle it. Let me handle it. Turn that over to me. Bible says, Romans 12:9, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Now, when you do that, guess what you're doing? Making a deposit. Putting a little money in the bank. Storing up a reward in heaven. Let me handle it. I can handle it. I can handle it better than you. Incredible challenge. Incredibly new set of values that God would put forth for his disciples. And who's he talking to? Those who hear. Let me tell you who hear me. Some people say, I ain't even listening to that. I didn't have any of that. Going right over my head. But there was some in that crowd that were paying attention. There were some in this crowd today that are going, how do I do that? This is too hard. He's got help. I'll tell you what, folks. If somebody steals from you, don't resist. We got an alarm on that wall right there. This is a challenge across the board. It is mine. I can handle it. Lord handled Roki's pay? He did. Just send you a truckload of money to your house? Not hardly. That's why he's got a wife that can buy a whole lot with $7. He's talking to those who hear, those with an eye on the future, because savers save and spenders spend. Which one are you? Where's your focus? All right. Jesus continues on and breaks it down for us. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Who do you love? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? We're talking about what credit. Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Credit. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Oh, that's so hard, God. Then your reward will be great. And you will be son of the Most High because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. And Jesus is saying, you need to be like Dad. Oops. Jesus breaks it down. Anyone can do the easy thing. God rewards the hard thing. You do the hard stuff, God is looking down from heaven and paying attention to what you do. And what happens is those actions are building up for you wealth that works in heaven. So are you a saver? Are you a spender? Because savers save and spenders spend. Jesus says, love those who hate you. Why? Storing it up in heaven. How much you got in the bank? How much you put in the bank this week? Savers save. Spenders spend. Jesus says, got to be like dad. And that's what Jesus did. They lied on him. They beat him. They spit on him and mocked him and hung him on a cross. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He could have lit them all up with fire. Father, forgive them. Can you trust? God says, I can handle it. It's mine to avenge. There's no way I can surrender this much. But Jesus did. And the response was that he was given the name above every name. That on the third day that he was raised from the dead. That he is seated at the right hand. Power, majesty, and glory are his. We got opportunities to share in that. We got some truly challenging people living around us. Amen? Opportunities to make a deposit. You know, we got deposits going on around here. A couple guys working on Monday, working on Wednesday. I'm sorry, Friday. Painting the church. I don't know if you noticed. Now, that is actually an old picture. And that is actually the one wall that we have not yet painted. But we did paint that wall back there in the alley, this front wall, and the wall down there in the patio. Looks good, don't it, Sandra? If you noticed, you just look at it and go, oh, yeah, that looks good. You know who helped paint that? Was Mike and Tommy. And you know what? Oh, you don't got to applaud. Because, oh, they got a reward coming in heaven. There's a lot of you that are making deposits. Steve comes and helps clean up. Jimmy's already gone, lighting the grill so we can feed you up afterward. Aaron teaches. Pastor Paul leads in prayer and teaches. Lisa worships. Julie Camacho and Roki Camacho teach youth and lead all the Christian ed. Ramiro, faithful, leads a Spanish speaking around here. Ed Canold up here. Get a little bit crazy on the guitar. Gail playing the keys. Joe playing the drums. So many of you making deposit. Oh, man, I messed up. I'm out of money. Yeah, I know. That's like, that wasn't supposed to happen, folks. I'm sorry. Anyway, I was just putting so much money in there. Amen. Amen. All right, let's move on. Point number three. Disciples are givers, not takers. All right. Now, again, this is hard stuff, folks. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. We're talking about the rewards of the kingdom. Do not judge, do not condemn. Well, who are you going to judge? Somebody who needs to be judged. Some mental midget that is running around your life and creating all kinds of drama and destruction. That's who you're going to judge. Amen? Who are you going to condemn? That person who is running around that needs to be condemned. You're not going to condemn the good person. There are some people that are around us that are incredibly challenging. Can I get a witness on that? Now, the disciples of Christ are supposed to be shiners of the light, not closers of the door. We are supposed to be givers and not takers. And Jesus gives those who live in his name incredible power. And we talk about judgment and we talk about condemnation. And you say, what does it really matter? Well, this is what Jesus said. Matthew 16, 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What power is that? What power is there in judgment and condemnation when you can move in the power of Christ and bind that person in a spiritual realm? And Jesus says, don't do that. Because he says, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven as well. And he says, I want you to be a forgiver. I want you to work in mercy and grace and charity. My question for you, how is your mercy today? How is your charity today? How is your forgiveness? Because as you move in that, you are making a deposit into the heavenly realm. That's why Jesus says rejoice. Rejoice when? When you're hated, excluded, insulted, and rejected. Because that's when you got the opportunity to make a deposit. They don't come around all the time. And you don't want to miss them when they do. So it's like, whoa, here that person comes. Woohoo! Opportunity to do what? Store up a reward in heaven for me. Glory. Hallelujah. How you doing? Maybe you got some really trying people around you. Who's bugging you? Who's really bugging you? Opportunity. Who's hating on you? You got somebody hating on you? You can make a deposit. Celebrate, Jesus says. Been insulted lately. Right into that heavenly bank account and rejected you. Bam. Don't lose those people. You kick them out of your life because they're too much of a pain. How are you going to get some more deposits for heaven? See, the Lord is blessing you with some challenging people. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron, just like man sharpens a man. See Jimmy down there sometimes sharpening a knife. Man, it don't sound good. That's the way it is when you start rubbing on somebody. But the very people that bug you most are the opportunity to make a change in your future. It's like, man, that's some hard preaching today, preacher. That kingdom message, boy, it's straight uphill. So, are you spending or are you saving? Last thing. We're going to close. We're going to have communion. Kids are going to move out in a minute. I'll let you know when. Oh, man, I didn't. I'm just going to move on. Oh, no, I can't. This is so good. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And we used to sing this song. Give. I can't sing them. And it will come back to you. Pressed down. Shaken together. And where I always go flat. Running over. It's going to be poured out in your lap. Poured out in your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. What are you using? How are you making use of those opportunities? Are you making the most of opportunities that come around? Or are you the opportunity that's coming around? Because if you are that person who is the irritant, woe to you. Don't be that person. Be reaching out beyond that person. All right, let me give you this last verse now. Watch out. Matthew 16, 27. The Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory. And he's going to reward each person, Danny, according to what they have done. God is coming back. Jesus is coming back. White horse. Reward is coming with him. And he's going to reward you according to what? According to what you have done. See, he's coming back and he's going to say, here you go. Well done. Well done. You've done well with little things. Come and share in your master's happiness. And there's going to be rejoicing. That's why he says, you rejoice now because you are looking to the day. And there are going to be those who show up. And Jesus says, this is what I got. There ain't nothing here. Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are well fed. For you have already got what you're going to get. Woe to you. There's nothing left. There's nothing for you. I got nothing. The greatest deposit ever made was made on the cross. So as you reflect on the reward in heaven and the choices, being a saver or being a spender, we're going to pass out the communion elements. The ushers are going to come, and Mr. Aaron's going to lead the youth into that room over there, and they're going to have their own communion time. And Kayla, you can go or stay either way you feel more comfortable. But, Carla? So as we pass these elements out, I want you to think about your week. I want you to think about the people around you that are giving you opportunities for deposits. Now, this is hard stuff. Can I get a witness on that? This is really hard stuff. You aren't going to make every one. But you're going to make some. Amen? I don't want you beating yourself up for the ones you missed. I want you thinking as these elements come by, which ones did you make? If you made none this week and you had opportunity, whoa. 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 Woe to you. It's a poor choice. Because every one of us had some people around us that were trying and challenging. And we had the opportunity to turn the cheek and to forgive and to make an effort and do all this stuff. There should be something in here, folks. There should be something more today than there was last Sunday, I'm hoping. I'm hoping you're not empty. If you are empty, if you come in here this morning and you are empty and you said, oh, and the God is sin, I got nothing for you. There has been no deposit that has been made to your account. Nothing on the cross is available for you. There's a change that can happen because the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer. And this morning, you can make a change. This morning, you can ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come and to be your Savior and to come in your life and to make a change. And as we hold these elements, the symbols of Jesus' death on the cross, his body and his blood, I guarantee you, if you are not his child this morning, he is letting you know right now. He says, this is nothing for you. And because he's telling you this is nothing, he loves you enough to give you a chance to make a change. And you can go from being a spender to being a saver. And he will save you and make that change. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning, Lord, there are those who are not in good position with you this morning. Lord, I pray by your Spirit, Lord, that you are shaking that person, those people right now, that there is no doubt, that they're not going to leave this place thinking that their account is full and overflowing when they are bankrupt. But Lord, you care enough, Lord. You care enough to save us out of darkness and guide us into light, to transform our lives because of your sacrifice on the cross, that you meet us here. And if that is you this morning, in your heart, you can just say, oh, Lord, forgive me a sinner. Lord, give me a shot. I want to be transformed. I want to be your disciple. Lord, I don't want to leave here just looking for a touch, Lord. I want to leave here being your disciple and an agent of change. Lord, I'll give you my life. Lord, I receive your sacrifice on the cross, Lord, as payment for all of my sins. Lord, I am so sorry that I am such a sinner. Change me, Lord, and make me new. In Jesus' name. If you did that, Jesus just opened a new account for you with a minimum balance on the books. And it's time to start making deposits. Amen? Rest of us in here this morning feeling good that you have joined us. Celebrate our account, our deposit that Jesus made. And we come and we hold these elements as a memorial of the work that he did on the cross to transform us. This bread signifying his body. He said, as the disciples gather around on the Last Supper, he said, this bread signifies my body, which is given for you. Let us partake of the bread of the Lord. Hallelujah. After the dinner, he took a cup, and he said, in this cup was wine. He says, this signifies my blood. And in my blood is shed for a new covenant, a new contract that God would make with you, that my blood will pay for your sins. They passed the cup around and they all partook of that. And this morning we look back through 2,000 years of history when Jesus hung on a cross, shed his blood, that we might be set free from our sins. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you set us free and you set us an example, Lord, that we should run after it, Lord. And as we hear the sermon on the plain and the values of the kingdom, that we are to act like you and to be people of forgiveness, the people that reach out, we ask, Lord, that you would meet us here, and we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.